93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
So it's that time on a Thursday again where we're joined by another man in blue. The defender across from me was instrumental in the Blues getting to the Checkatrade Trophy final at Wembley. Would love to hear your thoughts as a Pompey Academy graduate joins me in the studio. So wherever you're listening to us, I hope you're having a good evening. Sit back, relax and enjoy the next 60 minutes. Welcome to the Thursday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening wherever you're listening to us this evening, and welcome to yet another edition of the Thursday Football Hour with myself, James Robbins, 93.7 Express FM, broadcasting to you across the city of Portsmouth on DAB Radio and anywhere around the world if you're listening via the app or online. This show, of course, being driven to you by Stagecoach Buses. If you want to get in and around the city of Portsmouth, download the Stagecoach Buses app where you can find out all the timetables, fares, changes and other information that you could possibly desire. Where do you find the app, I hear you ask? Well, if you go to the Google Play Store, the App Store or wherever else you download your apps from, you'll find it in there, and the rest, I'm afraid, is up to you. As I said, got delighted to say I'm joined by a Pompey Academy graduate and a man who was influential in the beginning to get the Blues to the Checkatrade Trophy. So don't miss this, your opportunity to put a question to defender Matt Casey, who is alongside me in the studio. How'd you get involved? You can start your text message with the word Express, send that to 81400, email studio at expressfm.com, or you can tweet us by using at expressfm. Matt was worried that we wouldn't have anything to ask him, so I'll leave the challenge open to you. This is your opportunity to ask a professional footballer absolutely anything. Had some interesting suggestions so far, but this is your opportunity. Again, start your text message with the word Express, send that to 81400, email studio at expressfm.com, or you can tweet us at expressfm. Right, that's enough rambling from me. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back Matt Casey into the Express FM studio. Very good evening, Matt.
Good evening, how you doing?
Yeah, very well, very well. Sun is shining. It's all good at the minute. Pompey on a winning run. So things beginning to look up. What's the atmosphere like at the training ground at the minute?
Everyone's on a high after winning the Checkatrade Trophy, obviously, and straight after that, another win in the league. Look, everyone's buzzing, getting around the top of the league as well. So no better time to be there.
I guess it does, in contrast to where it was, I think, within the last time when you and Dan came on. Actually, I think they're doing all right then as well. But I mean, just those months between January and March, was it a completely different place to be compared to when you were last on?
No, not really. I mean, all the lads tried to keep it positive around the training ground, no matter what the results. You just want to keep it positive, because then that obviously influences your game and hopefully brings the lads up. But yeah, it's always positive around the training ground.
And currently now you're on loan at Gosport Borough. Enjoying your football there?
Yeah, it's a decent challenge down there. Playing non-league football, it's a lot different to obviously the academy where I came through. And like 23's games, it's a lot different, like more physical. But I'm enjoying the challenge. Decent.
I mean, I was just looking at the league table actually, and looking at the challenge to keep Gosport up. It's very tight, but is it worrying times there at the minute?
I mean, there are a few worries going around, but the managers think they've got the players that can keep them up, and I feel like I can have an influence on that and help them out in defence, and hopefully we can stay up.
I mean, you must get this all the time. I mean, it's fair, you know, quite tall. What's the challenge like in non-league compared to the Football League? Is it a lot more physical, and are you a lot more of a target in the non-league than you are when you played in the 23 games or even in some of the first team games?
It is a lot more physical. Like, men, they're just like old men just coming running at you, just charging at you. Like, you got to deal with it, but it's decent. No, yeah, I like it. It's helping my game out.
That sounds like Saturday night in a Wetherspoons, that description of it. I mean, you mentioned the 23s. Let's talk the Chequer Trade Trophy. How much did you enjoy those minutes in the early stages of that competition?
I loved it, playing in front of all the fans, just playing first team football. It was a great experience for me, being so young and like getting my debut and everything for the club. It was amazing.
And for, I think for, I don't want to say many of us, I don't want to speak for everyone, but the way I viewed the competition, especially, was that for players like yourself who have come up through the academy, I mean, this is what this competition was supposed to do. It was supposed to breed young English talent, young local talent, in this case. It's what, for you, did it mean slightly more where you've gone through the Pompey Academy system, so to walk up the Fratton steps and to play in front of the Fratton, and yeah, I guess that, I know the attendance is maybe slightly smaller than what you envisaged when you were younger, but I mean, to do all of that as well in that competition.
Yeah, it's been great. I've been with Portsmouth since I've been 12, so it was always a dream of mine to walk out in front of all those fans at Fratton Park with the first team, just representing the club. And it's such a big club, it's just an honour to do it.
Did you have any superstitions? Was there anything that you'd said, right, I've got to do this when I go to Fratton Park and I'm starting? What have you got to touch any superstitions?
No, not really. I just kept my head straight, look forward, just keep my eye on the game.
And I mean, for yourself as well, that team was made up with a lot of Pompey Academy recruits as well. So did you almost feel like you were playing in an academy game against the maybe slightly stronger opposition, against the, I guess, in a big stadium compared to playing at Roco or wherever the academy games?
I mean, playing with all like previous teammates and stuff, that like does help, like, and it does feel a bit like you're playing in the old times, but playing up against those strong oppositions, that just brings you back to reality, and you just got to compete as much as you can. But in front of in Fratton Park, it's just amazing compared to Roco, yeah, like where the youth team play.
What lessons did you learn from those games?
Oh, I learned so many lessons. Like, you got to be so strong and mentally strong as well as physically strong in those games, just to get you through those 90 minutes against such hard opposition and like more experienced players. You just got to know what you got to do and keep strong.
And forgive me for asking, did you play in the Arsenal game?
I did play in the Arsenal.
So you had, I think it was Laurent Koscielny.
Yeah.
Wasn't it, playing centre half? What was that like?
That was good, to be honest. Player like against a player of his calibre, and like marking him from corners and going up against him from corners, it was just great. Like, great experience.
This is an absolute. But did you, after the game, ask him for any advice, any tips, any pointers, or just keep it professional?
Nah, I kept it professional. He was straight off anyway. Didn't get a chance to speak to him.
You sort of try and mark him towards the end of the game and go, right, here you go, this is a great chance to grab the shirt. Stand on him here.
Yeah, I wish. I wish I got that shirt.
Nah, I mean, it was a phenomenal run that the Blues are on, obviously, ending up with a triumph at Wembley. But also for yourself, you played alongside Christian Burgess, you played in the team with Brett Pittman, who is captaining the club again to take them to the championship as well. So mixing in as well with now regular first teamers as well.
Yeah, that's a great like opportunity, because you never know, like if I ever get the chance to play in the league, then I've played with them and I've got experience playing with them, and I just feel more comfortable in those games. So it was decent to play with the more experienced players in the trophy as well.
Now, what was it like to play alongside Christian Burgess? Was that an education as well?
Yeah, he's very good at what he does. He's always talking to me as a young player, telling me what to do, where to be. It just helps your game so much, because you just then bring on that knowledge in your own game, and you can help out other centre-backs who are maybe younger than you and need your help.
And for me anyway, it was unfortunate that, unfortunately, with football being the ruthless business as it is, as it got towards the business end, the academy lads and the lads who had aided Pompey to that trophy final, were, I guess, phased out and the more experienced pros came in. Was there a slight resentment, I suppose, on your behalf when you were sat at Wembley going, oh, I've put a lot of hard yards into this? Or
Yeah, obviously it was upsetting that I didn't get to play in the final or the semi-final, but I mean, the lads have got themselves through it and they've won the trophy, so that's all that matters, really, just getting the trophy for the club.
Definitely, and when it's sitting there now in the trophy cabinet, you can say I was a big part in making this happen.
Yeah, that's always going to stick in my mind. First game for the first team, and it's led to a trophy for the club, so that's always going to be in my memory.
Bet the interesting celebrations after.
Yeah, down in the change rooms, that was good. All the lads enjoyed it, and they were all like happy to get me in on celebrations after what I did in the earlier rounds. So it was a good experience.
That's great to hear. What's that done to the dressing room as well? Has that, because there were many fans, I suppose, after the trophy that were concerned that it was, I mean, because Pompey were playing in excess of 60 games, there's going to be a lot of hard work towards now and the end of the season. You've got the high of winning at Wembley to suddenly straight back into action at Wickham away. There's a different levels of trying to get yourself motivated for a game, but you've not seen any signs of that.
No, I think the boys are always going to be motivated to play in the league because they want to get like as high as they can in the league now, between now and the end of the season, and winning games is the only way they can do that. So being motivated, they're always going to be that for the league, even after the trophy win.
And I mean, for yourself, you must feel like you're, I guess, very close to the first team.
Yeah, I do feel very close to the first team, always training with them and around them. Like a few times during the season I've been on the bench, so I'm just getting closer and closer with every week that goes by, which is good.
Yeah, and just, and I guess the key I remember when going down there to the speaking to Paul Cook and Liam Richardson, and they were always of the opinion that they want every single player in that squad, obviously other than the six who are on the bench, playing 90 minutes of football every single Saturday. You're obviously getting that opportunity with Gosport while also training with Portsmouth as well, other than sounding like an absolutely ridiculous schedule. But you're getting the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I mean, I'm playing in that men's physical league, like always playing, and then I go back to Portsmouth and it brings me on technically better because they're all sharp and quick with their feet, and it just helps me that side of my game. And then playing with Gosport helps me in the more physical side of the game.
Do you feel like you've matured sort of massively as the season's gone on, playing in those types of leagues as well?
Yeah, I think I have matured quite a lot because I'm getting that knowledge and understanding of what happens in those games and what you got to do, like last minute when you're winning and last minute when you're losing, what you got to bring to the game. And yeah, I feel like that's helped me grow as a player a lot.
It's not just me here asking the questions to Matt Casey. You two can get involved as well. If you want to get involved in the show tonight, you can do so. Start your question with the word Express. Send that to 81400. Email studio@expressfm.com. Tweet us using @ExpressFM. Remember tonight's topic, Matt, I think, was slightly worried that we wouldn't have anything to ask him. Well, the questions are flooding in. So this is your opportunity to ask your man in blue absolutely anything. Look forward to reading some of those out in the next part of the show.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening. Welcome back to the second part of the Thursday Night Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM, the only radio station on the city of Portsmouth where you can get your 1 hour Pompey fix 3 days during midweek, 6 till 7, Monday, Thursday, Friday. Jake here tomorrow to give you the best preview on the dial to Pompey's home game. It's been a long time since I've said that. Home game against Rochdale. This show, of course, being driven to you by Stagecoach Buses. If you want to get into Havant or Lee Park and you don't really fancy getting on the train, number 23 bus, Stagecoach, is where you can get it and how much it will cost you. The Stagecoach Buses app, download that from the App Store or the Google Play Store. Matt Casey still alongside me here for the next 40 minutes or so. If you want to get a question into him, absolutely anything. You can start your text message with the word Express. Send that to 81400, email studio at expressfm.com, or you can tweet us by using at expressfm. Matt, you've mentioned, you know, once or twice that you've got an injury at the minute. How much of a frustration for that is you? Is that for you? Because I remember the last time you were on here, you recovering from an injury as well. I hope it's not us.
No, it's not you. It is very frustrating because obviously you want to be training every single day and getting as much football in as you can, and that injury just brings halt to that football, and you just really, like, you're devastated when you're in there watching all the lads out training. It's just not what you want to do.
Especially on days like this.
Yeah, today was a lovely day as well. Just sat inside.
No, I suppose in the winter it might be slightly easier, I guess, when the rain is absolutely lashing it down. But no, I mean, what's... So that recovery... So I think we were just saying it off air, you rolled your ankle. So what's the rehab like for that? Is it very much just keeping it moving, some weights on it? What's the process for that?
This week, because it's not the worst ankle injury, I've just been having ice... and other, like, sort of soft tissue work done on it, and today I did luckily go outside and just do a bit of running on it just to check it was all good before training tomorrow.
And all fit, ready to go tomorrow?
All fit and ready for tomorrow.
Who's the toughest, so when you're defending, who's the, I guess, trickiest to get the better of in training?
As a centre-back, to mark Omar Bogle is a struggle because he's just so strong and his feet are very quick. Like, I just can't deal with him. He's so strong. For me, especially, because I'm, like, so tall, he's just quick in and out and he can hold the ball up so well.
I mean, that's just for your development as well, against marking a Premier League player as well, and what you've got to do to try and get near him as well.
Yeah, playing against him, it's been... a great experience because obviously, yeah, he's played in the Premier League, and like playing up against him when you're just 19 and playing at Portsmouth is amazing.
Mm. And I guess you get to experience is the different challenge that teams in League One face. You go from Omar Bogle to Ollie Hawkins to then suddenly, I guess you might not get Curtis too much, but Gareth Evans through the middle, Pittman as well. Every single one of those brings different challenges.
Yeah, all of them. They're all technically good in what they do and all have different attributes that help have got them to where they are today. Like Brett, he's got outstanding finishing, like so hard to stop. And Gareth, he's just works so hard, like you're always competing against him. But yeah, they all bring different stuff that helps me develop my game.
And from one Matt at centre-half to another Matt at centre-half, how much do you learn from those... So Matt Clark, basically, at centre-half, I think he's been arguably one of the players of the season so far, and very much, very similar to you, actually, in the sense that quite softly spoken and quite, I guess, chilled out probably isn't the right word, but very relaxed, very composed, but also very, very gifted. What's it like playing alongside him?
Yes. Very good playing against him because you can always rely on him. He's just so consistent, but that consistency level's always at the top of his game. Like, he's consistently amazing all the time. So playing against him, you just know you're going to do well as a team. And like, if he's on your team, you know you've done well. So,
what's the best piece of advice you've been given by the centre-halves unit?
Probably just be as strong as you can. Just try and hold the strikers up, let your teammates get back in. But just keep going and what you're doing.
What's it like, what are you like at running the ball out from the back?
I'm all right at it. I mean, I'd much rather pick a pass and or play a longer pass because I'm much better at that than running out and dribbling, but I can do it. I've done it in the past, so
yeah. So it's there to see, I'm sure, and there to develop. Let's go to some of the text tweets and emails which are coming into us. A very good evening. We'll start with Sarah Powers, who says, hi Matt, enjoyed watching some fantastic performances during the early rounds of the Checkatrade Trophy. Did you automatically get given tickets to Wembley to see the lads perform, or did you go into the blue section behind the goal?
I was automatically given tickets, so I was sat behind the bench in that part of the stands. But no matter where you were in that stadium, it was a great experience. So
I'm sure one that you'll experience on the pitch very, very soon. Good evening to Shav, who's got in contact. Really like this question. He says, what has Kenny Jackett asked of you in terms of football and physical development?
I think physical development, he just wants me to get stronger, like upper body, because obviously I'm like so tall, it's hard to like gain that strength. But once I've done that, I'm like very well. Football wise, he just wants me to keep doing what I'm doing and keep developing, because playing around the players obviously every day, I'm doing that anyway, so keep doing that and I think I'll be on the right track.
Where do you think you need to improve?
Personally, I think I need to improve like in the big games, like in the Czech trade. I just need to relax more, like on the ball, because in some of the later rounds, like against Peterborough, I was just booting the ball out as quick as I could to try and get rid of it. But in like against Arsenal, I was so much more relaxed and just finding the passes, which is what I need to do more.
And yeah, I guess does composure come with game time?
Yeah, it does, because you're just getting more used to playing against the players and the different challenges that they bring to you. So like if I'm more composed, then players running at me, I can just find a pass easier, or yeah, so more game time does help.
Very good evening to Graham Wilkins, who says, hi Matt, hi James, hope you're well. Graham says, obviously the early days of your career at Pompey sees you loaned out to gain experience, but in the long term, it's got to be your dream to play in Pompey's first team. Do you believe you'll have more chances next season, or do you think it will be another loan spell out to a lower league team to gain more experience?
I'm not sure yet. I need to like obviously have chats and everything with obviously Kenny Jackett and stuff, but hopefully I'll get more opportunity next season. But I think to start with, just to get settled in again in pre-season and stuff, that will help me more, and then take it from the end of pre-season, really, what I'll do with the club.
Do you think you could be a confident League One player right now, right this second?
Maybe not right now, but with more like development and stuff, I reckon I could easily play in that league, because I've seen what it's like and I reckon I could get those attributes in my game and play.
That's a great answer. Also, who are your best friends at the club?
I get on with all the lads. Probably Louis Dennis, Dan Smith, obviously out in Ireland at the moment. He's gone, he's left me. But yeah, Lloyd Isgrove and Louis Dennis, I get on with those two very well. And Dion, they're all great to me. So
brilliant. And Graham goes on to say, are you another member of the golfing fraternity at Portsmouth, or do you play any other sports?
I used to play golf quite a lot. But I've sort of eased up on that now. Now I'm just always down the driving range, just smashing balls as hard as I can.
Just to be honest, you're going to get more enjoyment doing that than you are out on the course. Right, let's go to some of the more remote questions that we've had come in. Very good evening to Dan Foster listening in, who said, Matt, if you had to pick a striker to clatter, who would it be?
Any striker? I don't know. That's tough. Put me on the spot. probably a big one like Firmino or like Ronaldo or someone, just to say you've done it. Like you've tackled them sort of players. That would just be unbelievable to say that.
Tell you what, love to go through Luis Suarez. That would be a loved if I ever got the opportunity. So coming to Steve, thoughts on if you're watching the golf, any idea who's going to win the Masters?
My bet's probably on McIlroy.
He's had a tough start, but he's definitely got the skills to bring it back. Good evening to Alex, who says, how much does Ronan Curtis do Brett Pittman's head in on the training ground?
He has his like spells of doing everyone's head in, but he's a nice lad off the pitch and he'll always talk to you and stuff. So yeah, but on the pitch he does get on people's nerves.
To the paying punters like me, we don't really see what happens at Roco. I mean, he does talk a lot, which is fantastic from my point of view, to the opposition players. Does that mentality continue into training?
Less so. Like, it's more a relaxed talk in training, but he does like to talk. Like, he's always talking, so yeah. But it is more relaxed in training, I'd say.
I end this part. There was, I can't read out the exact question, Bradley. It's an interesting question. But obviously, Barry Harris, a very popular member of the Pompey team, I guess is the way to describe it. I've been. Have you heard many of Barry's jokes down there? Have you at receiving end on some of them?
Yeah, he's always talking to me and telling me jokes. He loves it. He just loves making the boys smile and seeing them laugh. That's what makes him happy and keeps him going.
Is he any good ones at all, or is it still a bit ropey?
There's a few good ones here and there, but normally they're a bit dodgy.
Thank you to everyone who's got involved so far. There's plenty more still coming in. If you want to get involved, start your text message with the word Express, send that to 81400, email studio@expressfm.com, tweet us using @expressfm. So are you still on an academy deal, or are you on a pro deal
at the moment? I'm on a academy deal, so third year scholarship, which means basically, if I ever needed it, I could always go back and like train and play with the youth team. But obviously, at the moment, being out on loan, I don't need that, and I'm always training with the first team, so that's always good.
So with your third year scholarship, is it at the end of this season, is it a now or never, you sign for Pompey or you play your football elsewhere?
Yeah, the end of this season is when my contract ends, so hopefully we'll be getting re-signing and staying with the club for the next season, but we'll have to wait and see.
Is that something that plays in the back of your mind at the minute, when, you know, we're, I guess, April the 11th, it's not that long to go, where you're constantly thinking, going, oh, I wish I would know, unless you do know and you're playing it cool.
Yeah, it's always in the back of your mind what's going to happen with you in the future, but I'll just try and keep it relaxed and calm, just keep playing my football to show what I'm about, and that's obviously going to help in obviously renewing the contract. So,
gosh, you must be a really good poker player, because I was trying to work it out there and I couldn't get anything. But it's, I mean, it's not just yourself as well. I'm sure there's plenty of others. First team right the way down the academy level. Is it almost a horrible place to be, or at least horrible, not the right word. Tenacious, I guess, is maybe the word I'm looking for, where there's a lot of footballers looking for continued opportunity to stay at the club. So I guess the level of performances, maybe the level of trainings, maybe the ferocity goes up a notch.
Yeah, there's so many boys looking to get new contracts and stay on at the club, but yeah, that does influence like how they train. They obviously want to train as hard as they can and well as they can, and when they're given that opportunity to train with the first team, or when you're in and around the first team constantly, they're always showing what they can do and training to their best. So
is the next step for you then, after this season ends, to be an established League 2 centre back next season, so then you've gone up a level, see where you're at, and then hopefully in January it's up a level again to League 1?
Yeah, I mean, that would be the ultimate goal, to get established in like being a League 2 centre back. But then, yeah, to be established in League 1, that would be amazing by the end of next season. That would just be a dream.
And fingers crossed, I'm sure that opportunity will come a knock in. If you want to get involved, you can do so. Start your text message with the word Express, send it to 81400, email studio@expressfm.com, tweet us using @expressfm.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening wherever you're listening to us. Welcome to the second half of the Thursday Night Football Hour with me, James Robbins, 93.7 Express FM, the only radio station in the city of Portsmouth, broadcasting to you your 1 hour Pompey fix between 6 and 7 every Monday, Thursday and Friday evening. It's so, of course, being driven to you by Stagecoach buses. If you want to get in and around the city of Portsmouth, the county of Hampshire, or even go and visit other counties as well, download the Stagecoach buses app where you can find out all the information, all the fares, all the changes, all the timetables. You download that from the Google Play Store, the App Store, or wherever you download your apps from. This part of the show, as always, we are live on Facebook as well. Smarted myself up for this time. So if you want to head over to what could be a very good challenge on the assault to beat Matt Clark, who's done 179 kick-ups inside of a minute. Matt Casey, last time was on, nursing an injury and with Dan on the clicker, managed to get 132. Matt, big hopes for you here. Do you think you can get in and around?
Well, I don't know. 179 is a lot in a minute. Hopefully I can get near my last score and try and beat that, but not sure about that 179.
When some of the players have come in here, they've looked at the leaderboard and they've looked and they've seen your name and gone, yeah. Yeah, you've got to practice your kick-ups in the spare time.
Yeah, sometimes. I think I've always been good with my feet, even as a like tall player. Like, I've backed myself at the ball with my feet, so yeah, I think I'm good at them.
Right, time is, we're about to find out again. That's Express FM on Facebook if you want to see this, or wait till after the show while you're waiting for the Masters live coverage to start, and you can watch this video back in its entirety and see hopefully what could be a new leader on our leaderboard. So Matt, if you would like to take to the floor, if quickly run through the rules if you haven't been here before. Matt's got 1 minute to do as many kick-ups as he can inside of a minute. Every time the ball drops on the floor, the counter resets to zero, but we take the highest score. Although even if he doesn't get that, he's still got 132 on the leaderboard, so whatever happens, mate, you're going to be fourth. Right, without any further ado, in 3, 2, 1, go. Going for the Matt Clark technique of hand against the wall. Balance yourself and with one foot. Going very well after 50 seconds. He's managed to hit our speaker. And he's continued it. No! Oh! Going so well. I think it might be the pressure of Facebook Live, you know. There's been so many drops since we started doing it on Facebook Live. That is your time. Oh, I'm devastated. I thought we were going to have a new leader. I tell you, so I think you dropped the ball after about 15 seconds, was it? And you were going good guns. How many do you think you did inside of 15 seconds?
Oh, probably about 25, 30.
55.
Yeah.
So 55 times that, four. You're going on pace for about 220. That's incredible. That is incredible going. I think you're probably at a slight disadvantage given the studio.
Yeah, small space, a lot of equipment. I'll leave it down to that.
Mace, as ever, thank you so much, our official adjudicator of the Pompey Keepy Up Challenge. Let's go to some of the text tweets and emails coming in to us. Very good evening to Carol listening on Hailing Island, who says, Matt, who is your footballing hero?
I think last time I said Jamie Carragher, because like, my granddad supported Liverpool and I just followed him with that, so I've always watched him as a centre-half and he's been inspirational, like what he does. But overall, probably got to say Beckham. He's just a legend in everyone's eyes, isn't he? So
Very good evening to Matt, who says, who's your defensive role model, favourite defenders in the world, past or present? So I guess Carragher and Beckham. Is there any defender at the moment who's currently playing who you, I guess, aspire to be or look at what they're doing and pick up some of the traits?
Obviously, everyone's raving about Van Dijk at the moment. Like, he's doing amazing at Liverpool. Alavira, Tottenham, him and Vertonghen, they're quality centre-halves. Then you've got the likes of Thiago Silva, who's just that experienced player who's always been good and still good at his age. Like, there's a few centre-halves that I look up to.
There's a few... I'm trying to think, there's been a few defenders who have gone on to play up front. I guess look at Callum Patterson in Cardiff. Is there any bit of you that thinks you could do that at that end of the pitch?
Yeah, I've got a good strike on me. I've shown that in training a few times. All the lads say that I've got a good shot. I reckon I could do all right up front.
I was trying to avoid the obvious Peter Crouch connection, so I'll gloss over that. But there is, I mean, he's shown there is a lot of longevity in the game, especially for him, and if you can get similar attributes to him.
Yeah, like playing for as long as he has, that'd be good. Like, obviously you're going to start to lose a bit of it, but he's still got quite a lot of his attributes, like his height, his heading. He's still amazing at that, and that's just helping him carry him through his career.
A very good evening to Adam Dark, listening in, who says, is Pittman quicker than he looks?
Yeah, Brett is a lot quicker than he looks. I know people say he looks slow and doesn't run that well, but he's quick. Like, yeah.
I think because it's... I don't know if you've seen the... I guess what shocked many Pompey fans at Wembley was when they saw him outpace Jamal Lowe, and people have gone, oh, wait, we've been calling him slow all season. What's going on in extra time? And obviously, you've obviously had to mark Pittman in training. So that kiboshes anyone who says it's that he's slow.
Yeah, that did shock many people when he outpaced Jamal, but I've seen it in training. He is a quick player. Even though what people say, he is quick and he is difficult to mark.
A very good evening to Mockers listening in. He says, if Pompey fails to get promoted this season, Matt Casey could have a better chance of staking a claim for a regular first team place. I mean, football is a ruthless business. There's no two ways about it. Is there a bit of you that maybe thinks, oh, if Pompey don't get promoted, then that might leave a couple of doors open, shall we say, in the back line?
Not necessarily, because players are always going to still be there no matter what league you're in, and you just got to keep competing and fighting for your place. So even if we're in League One, League, the Championship, I'll always have to fight for my place and it will still be a challenge.
It's very competitive, and then you've got to try and prove yourself against other people who are established as well. Is that one of the difficulties of the position which you're in, where you've got to try and establish yourself against people who are already experienced, and people look to experienced players, but the only way you can get the experience is playing in the league, which you're not being able, given the opportunity to do?
Yeah, that is one of the toughest parts about it, because obviously every manager loves experience in their squad, and especially at the back, because that's a crucial part of the pitch. So it is hard for me when I'm up against like the likes of Burgess, Clark, Watmore, because they've all played in the leagues, they've all played loads of games, and they're all like, they know what they're doing. So for me, it's a hard challenge competing against them.
And that is it for your text, tweets and emails. Thank you very much. If you want to get a question into Matt, you can do so in the next part of the show, but this really is last orders. Those text details again, start your text message with the word express, send it to 81400, email studio@expressfm.com, tweet us using @expressfm. Oh, one's just popped up. Getting to Adam, who says, hi Matt, I believe you play a lot of FIFA. Do you play with yourself at centre half?
No, I don't trust myself on that game at the moment. I'm quite a low rating at the moment, but hopefully when I start to increase ratings on FIFA, I'll put myself in team all the time.
How weird is that, playing as yourself virtually?
Oh, that's very weird. I always get mates texting me saying, oh, I've scored with you and all this. It's very weird.
Yeah, sort of, mate, sort of sticking you up front or going, no, I had to put you on the bench, mate. You,
yeah, I have a go at them when they put me on the bench, but when they score with me, I'm always like saying well done and stuff.
So you graduated, as I've mentioned a couple of times on the show, through the Pompey Academy as well. We had Brandon on a couple of weeks ago talking about his time in the Pompey Academy. Last time we had Dan and yourself on, you were there and always had fond memories of it. What advice do you give much advice now to people who are coming through the system, because you know what they're going through at the minute, to get to where you're at?
Obviously with the youth team, the under-18s being around training ground all the time, I'm always talking to them, like helping them out, telling them what I did last year to help me get to where I am and what they can do, like if it is sadly a no that they get, or like, yeah, stuff like that, because I had to do all the preparation and stuff last year, so giving them advice is like easy for me.
And this is, I guess, the worst part of an academy footballer's, not the worst part, but it's definitely the most tentative, where they're waiting on to see if they're getting kept on next year.
Yeah, it's probably the worst part about it, because the difference between youth team and pro level is so major, and like if you don't get kept on, you're just there lost at, like, for a few weeks, like what are you going to do, and is anyone else going to pick you up and take you on? It is a tough time.
What was that like for you, if you can go back, turn the clock back a year when you're sitting there, and is there always a doubt going through your mind of, could I have done this better, could I have done this better, should I have done this, should I do that, are they going to keep me on, or is there always a bit, do you back your own ability to get the deal?
There's always going to be a slight doubt in your mind, but I'd like to say, yeah, I did back my ability and what I did in the academy quite a bit. But yeah, no matter who you are, no matter how confident you are, there always is going to be that little bit of doubt in your head that what happens if it is a no, and like, could you have done anything better?
If you want to get a question into Matt Casey, you can do so in the final part of the Thursday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Very good evening. Welcome back to the final part of the Thursday Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM. Jake Smith back here, same time, same place, with the Friday Football Hour also being driven to you by Stagecoach Buses. While you're waiting for the Masters to start, download the Stagecoach Buses app and discover your next adventure. Right, let's go back to some of the final text tweets and emails which are coming in. Well, more importantly, to my guest, Matt Casey. I've just got to read them out. A very good evening to Dal Singh listening in, who says, hi, Matt. I hope you get your break soon. I'm sure you will. What advice would you give to a 15-year-old playing Sunday League football but still has aspirations to make the big time?
Just keep working hard at what you're good at, and then obviously develop what you're not so good at, and just try and make your all-round game as good as it can be. And then you never know, you might get a like scout or someone watching you, and if you're performing well, then obviously that's a good thing and they'll pick you up. But you just got to keep working hard at what you're good at and what you're not good at, and that will help develop your game so much.
It's a phrase you hear so often, where people say, you know, just keep working hard, keep doing what you're doing, and if you believe in your ability, you'll get there. And I didn't really believe it until I think it was Gary Roberts got picked up off playing Sunday League in a park somewhere, and look at him now, he's going all guns. So it is, I guess, do you find the old cliches, like keep doing what you're doing, believe in yourself, actually they are as true as they've ever been?
Yeah, they are true, because if you're doing that, then there's not much more you can do to show your ability off, and that's, yeah, they've always been in my mind to do what I need to do, and look where it's got me and look where it's got most players.
A very good evening to Graham Wilkins, who says, hi Matt, me again. Do you have any superstitions before a match?
No, I don't. I normally just sit there in silence for, like, even with music, I just try and shut that off in my mind and just concentrate on what I feel I need to do in the game before like I go out on the pitch. That's all I do. No superstitions or anything.
Do you have a pre-match playlist at all?
No, I'll normally just listen to whatever the, say, DJ's playing.
What's the what's the songs of choice on at Gosport?
Who's
responsible for that?
That's Sam Roberts, the other centre half's duty. He's normally on the music. They listen to it all. They listen to past, present, whatever takes their fancy on the day.
Yeah, no, because I mean, there's a. Yeah, I guess what's the Pompey one? I think it's Jamal Lowe does a lot of grime and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mixed reviews, shall we say. Speaking of Jamal Lowe, congratulations on the birth of his son early this morning. Goes on to say, do you have a pre-match meal?
Normally I just have pasta for a pre-match meal. Pasta in with any type of sauce, because it's always like it's a good source of energy and it just helps me relax.
And finally, your favourite holiday destination?
I haven't been on many holidays, but probably the one place that I have been that was just like a great experience. I went to China, Beijing, Shanghai. That was unbelievable.
What's it like out there? Just a completely different way of life.
Yeah, just so busy and manic. Like, there's everything's going on no matter where you are. Like, so many people around you. It's just mad.
So obviously, I mean, you were explaining your schedule to me and I was just tired listening to it. You know, training with the first team, training then with Gosport, and that's besides sort of playing for Gosport, and if you get the call up to the first team, then you're going over to Fratton or wherever you're going up and around the country. So in your very limited spare time, what do you get up to?
Not much, apart from lay in bed and sleep, try and relax. Now, normally I'm sat on my Xbox or, as I said earlier, down the driving range. But, yeah, most of it is just sleeping and relaxing.
And just try and get your body to recover.
But yeah, that's what I need most, just recovery.
And I guess it's different for lads who have... moved down from other bits of the country. You still living at home with your parents, and so everything you know where everything is, you know, you've got your mates down here, it's all very settled.
Yeah, I'm still living at home with parents, so yeah, I'm still all around like my old schoolmates, always still hang out with them. I'm close to like people that live down here, and yeah, it's just everything I know and been around for my whole life, so it's like I'm happy with what I'm doing.
Is it quite difficult on the Friday night where you're getting the WhatsApps through about going out and you're sort of sat there like, no, phone away?
Yeah, I get them all the time. My mate's going, oh, are you coming out with us this weekend? I'm just like, nah, I can't. I've got football. But they're always jealous of what I do and when they're at uni and stuff. So it swings both ways, really.
Swings and roundabouts. So you're quite optimistic about the fortunes of Gosport Borough, I'm sure. Henry Deacon, who presents the Over the White Line, will be delighted to know. Keeps an eye on all things non-league if you want to hear how they're doing. I was just looking through some of the teams in that league. It's not too bad travel-wise.
It's not that bad. Like, some you got very close, Salisbury, but... yeah, like far ones like Weymouth and them ones, they're not the worst. Like, I've been on further than them, so it's not too bad.
Gateshead and some up there. So let's skip forward, say 7 years, 10 years. Where do you think you will be?
I reckon in that sort of time frame I'd be an established first team centre half, hopefully at Portsmouth or otherwise somewhere else, but playing a very good standard of football, like League One, League Two, anywhere, I reckon I'd be an established centre-half.
Do you think you could get into a Premier League team and be an established Premier League centre-back?
I'd like to think so, but obviously that comes with a lot more hard work and a lot more attributes that I need to develop to get there, because that level of football is just unbelievable and just so hard to get there.
It's some of those when you watch it on the TV and you just think, how on earth are they doing that?
Yeah, there's so many players that you think that, like Hazard and all them, they're just next level. You just can't watch it.
Do you get sick of watching football? You play it sort of Monday to Friday and Saturday, so by the time the sort of Super Sunday comes around on a Saturday afternoon, you're just like, I just don't want to know this sport exists for today. I just want to stay in bed.
There are some occasions where I don't want to watch it, but most of the time I'm always watching like the Champions League, Premier League, because they're just exciting games to watch, and obviously it helps me develop because I can watch players at that high level.
Do you feel a centre-half's role is developing now? There's a lot more thrust on people running the ball out from the back.
Yeah, I see a lot more like managers and stuff liking their centre-backs to be more confident and running the ball forward and joining the attacks, which is something I'm all right at, but probably need to develop that quite a bit as well.
Matt, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the Thursday Football Hour this evening. Thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck with everything. I think I speak for everyone. I say hopefully we see you as an established Pompey first team player next season.
Cheers. It's good to be here.
Thank you to everyone for all your texts, your tweets, your emails. As ever, it doesn't go unnoticed. Thank you so much for getting involved in the show tonight. As I said, Jake Smith is back tomorrow for the best preview on the dial to the Blues home game against Rochdale, which you can hear live 93.7 Express FM and around the world via I Follow Pompey. Is Liam Howes, Jake Smith and the legend Alan Knight guide you through kick-by-kick commentary by our partners at Radio Solent, and then blow your whistle following the game for all your text, tweets and emails. Miles Henson is next with the Business Express. I'll be back on Monday. Take it easy.